KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny.
When I left, it was basically we were surrounded with flames.
You couldn't even cut the air with a knife. It was that, like, thick.
Raging wildfires in Sonoma and Napa counties that began Sunday night have now claimed more than 25,000 acres. High winds are driving the fires, which have closed major roads, prompted evacuations, and closed hospitals. And coming up on Forum, we'll get an update, and we want to hear from you. Have you been evacuated or otherwise affected by the fires? You can share your experience now by emailing forum@kqed.org or calling us at 866-733-6786. That's 866-733-6786. Welcome to this morning's Forum program. I'm Michael Krasny. Large-scale evacuations are underway in Napa and Sonoma counties this morning as multiple wildfires rage in the region. And as of this morning, a blaze near Santa Rosa has burned at least 25,000 acres and two major hospitals are being evacuated. And in Napa County, the Atlas Fire is scorching wineries northeast of Napa City, while another blaze near Calistoga is also forcing evacuations. The elderly, children, and those with respiratory problems are being advised to limit outdoor activity as smoke from the multiple fires blankets the Bay Area. And we're going to get an update on the fires and areas being evacuated. Let me give out the phone number, though, because so many of our listeners are up there, and we certainly want to hear what your stories are or what you have to say, what you're experiencing, what you're going through, and certainly what you have in the way of wisdom to alert others to what you're experiencing or seeing. You can join us right now at our toll-free number. It's 866-733-6786. Open our phone lines and invite you to join us. Let us know what you're going through, what you're experiencing, and what you really have to tell our broad community here in the Bay Area. Again, the number to call, 866-733-6786. You can, of course, also email us, forum@kqed.org, or go to our website, kqed.org/forum, or tweet us. Our Twitter handle is @KQEDForum. I'm going to go to our Friday host and our news reporter, Mina Kim, who's with us by line. Mina lives up there. And Mina, you've been up since 1 o'clock this morning?
Yes, I have. That's when the smell of the smoke and fire was so intense that it woke up my husband, who also woke me up quickly, and we could see an orange glow, a very strong orange glow from our bathroom window. And what we learned later is that was from the west side of Napa and where they were, and we were about 2 miles from an evacuation zone on Patrick Road, and that's what we were looking at. It was incredible.
It's not only incredible, of course, to see it close up like unfortunately you are, but also just to realize the devastation in this. And at this point, perhaps you can give us an overview of what you've been experiencing in the broader sense, because you've been out there doing reportage as well.
Yes, so I've been talking with people. I went to an evacuation center early this morning, and then I've also been at Queen of the Valley Medical Center as well. The evacuation center I was at is called Crosswalk Community Church, and it was one of the first to open in Napa, and it filled up really quickly, faster than the workers there expected it to. And that was because with the wind, you know, gusting, there have been reports that it ranged anywhere from 20 to 60 miles an hour, depending on where you were, either in Napa or Sonoma. It just whipped this fire up and just made it move so quickly and so strong that people, the evacuation zone, a new one was being called, you know, left and right, and people were hearing police come and bang on their door and getting out as fast as they could. I talked with a woman, Jean Botello, who lives near Atlas Peak Road. She's in Silverado Springs, and she said that, you know, she was awakened to the sound of a policeman banging on her door and screaming, "Evacuate now," and she was able to get her 92-year-old elderly neighbor out with her and made it over to Crosswalk Community Church. The other thing that happened was that at the Silverado Resort and Spa, we just had a golf tournament here. We had people, you know, from all over the country and world come to this golf tournament. And so initially when they evacuated the Silverado Resort and Spa, my understanding was it was shortly after 11 p.m., the evacuation centers hadn't been set up. So One of the women I talked to said she was driving sort of aimlessly around because she's from New Jersey and she didn't know where to go. And they finally opened up the Crosswalk Community Church and found their way there. But it was a steady stream of people when I was there with really harrowing stories.
And the emphasis now is on evacuation to some degree, even more than fighting the flames from what I'm reading.
Well, initially it was these haunting tweets from CAL FIRE that were really alarming, that said things like, you know, we're not even trying to contain the fire. We're trying to save lives. We're in rescue mode. We're not going to try to, try to deal with the perimeter. It was the kinds of things that just made you really, really scared. And one of the men I talked to at an evacuation center, his name was John Campbell. He is in Sonoma, right near the Sonoma-Napa County line, and he wasn't evacuated. He woke up because of the orange light, and when he looked at his backyard, it was in flames. And so he didn't even have time to put a shirt on, Michael. He fled. He put on a pair of shorts, grabbed his dog and his wallet, and got out of there as fast as he could. And when I was talking to him, he was very calm and sort of explaining the situation. He talked about seeing Chardonnay vineyards go up in flames. And then I said to him, "You're remarkably calm." And he said, "I'm just in shock."
We're talking to KQED's Mina Kim. In fact, we have a cut from John Campbell, whom you just mentioned.
I woke up to an orange glow in the bedroom window and looked out the back, and our whole back field was ablaze. I grabbed the dog, put on a pair of shorts and shoes, and fled.
Mina, I mean, you're really talking to a number of people, and you're talking to people who, for the most part, have just been shocked by this whole, including yourself. What's the sense you get from overall emotional reaction to this?
Yes, well, the speed with which it came on was really unexpected. I could feel myself shaking as I was initially trying to figure out what was going on with the reports. And then for us, the power went out at about 2 o'clock in the morning. And so we were in, complete black for a long time, sort of feeling our way around to get flashlights. And I wore a headlamp for most of the morning. And because it happened, in the dead of night like this, there was this really apocalyptic feeling, I think, as you're driving through Napa. I was headed toward the evacuation centers, and the streets were eerily quiet, and very few working stoplights. Some of them were flashing, but others were just not flashing at all.
I believe most of the electricity is out, and hasn't PG&E? We'll find out more about this as time goes on.
I heard it was as high as 60,000.
Yeah.
I just get reports from my specific customer area, consumer region. And
but I think PG&E has taken down a lot of the wires, too, just, to avoid anything.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
Mina Kim with us, KQED's Mina Pim. We have CAL FIRES, and we want to go to them. Captain Amy Head is with us. And, Captain, good to have you aboard. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Can you give us a kind of an overview sense now of what's going on? I mean, we've sort of given some of the broad statistics, but at this point, how things look, particularly in terms of controlling the fire and getting it underway, and where are you at this point?
I'm in Santa Rosa at it's the Tubbs Fire that started over in the Calistoga area and has made its way all the way over here to the Santa Rosa area. That fire's 20,000 plus acres with 0% containment. We've had multiple structures destroyed. We are continuing to get resources in from all over the place, the Bay Area, all throughout the state, are coming into this incident. The challenges we face today is obviously, as we all know, that we've had these major winds the past couple of days, especially overnight. So it's still very windy up here on the fire, and the fire is still progressing. So our main focus throughout this firefight has been life safety and evacuating as many people as we can, and rescuing multiple civilians and making sure they're out of harm's way. So
there is a prediction that the winds will die down, of course, by tomorrow. But at this point, there's a lot of serious concern about the winds, is there not?
Yes. The winds have definitely, they've subsided. compared to what we were seeing overnight, but it is still windy, and the fire is very well established, you know, so it's coupled with all the dry conditions that we were already facing without the winds. So we still have a long road ahead of us. We'll get our resources in here and start trying to get ahead of the fire.
Is the priority still on evacuations rather than fighting? I mean, I know the fire is being fought, but is there a sense of triage where evacuations are concerned?
We have done a lot of evacuations. That's always our number one priority, is life safety always. But we are fighting the fire, obviously. Earlier in the night, our priority was strictly life safety for most of this. We are getting those resources in, like I was saying, to try to get ahead of the fire, to start really extinguishing it and start building some containment line around it.
And can you give us a sense of, it just seems very odd to many people that six wildfires should go up in flames simultaneously. Is there any kind of investigation or any thoughts about investigation or where it's going to lead?
Sure. All the fires are being actively investigated. I don't have a cause on any of the fires right now. You know, it could be anything. I don't want to speculate, but, you know, a lot of times with the high winds, there could have been down power lines. There were multiple power lines and trees down throughout this fire. So that's sometimes the cause of some of these fires when those winds really do pick up. So we'll know more in the next few days as investigators pin down the cause of each of these fires.
And there is a red flag warning, I believe, that's gone out not only through the areas affected, but even beyond at this point?
Yes, there's still a red flag warning in effect for a large portion of California. I don't know if it's changed or if it's going through all of today. I've heard that the winds are supposed to settle down a bit by noon, but we'll see. It's still pretty windy up here. And the fire is still burning really actively.
Captain Amy Head with us by phone, who is with CAL FIRE. Anything else that you want to at least warn people about at this point, or tell them about, enlighten them about, that they need to know, Captain Head?
Just to really be prepared and start thinking ahead now. If you haven't been evacuated already and you're anywhere near where this fire is, or any of these fires, make sure you have some of those things ready to go, especially important papers, prescriptions, that gets forgotten a lot of times. Don't forget about your pets. Start thinking about all these things and having some things ready to go so that when you are asked to evacuate, that you can do so quickly. You can go to readyforwildfire.org. We have some really great checklists there for people to use for evacuations.
Again, Captain Amy Head of CAL FIRE, thank you so much for joining us. Appreciate your being with us.
Thank you.
And let me ask again, those of you listeners who are experiencing this up north or who have something you'd like to say about what you've been through, we do want to hear your stories, and we invite you to join us now. I want to remind you that you can do so at our toll-free number. The number to call is 866-733-6786. We would like to hear what you're going through and what you have learned at this point and what you perhaps have to share to others in your community and beyond. Again, the number to call is 866-733-6786, and you can also join us by emailing us forum@kqed.org or by going to our website, kqed.org/forum, and clicking on this segment, or you can tweet us. Our Twitter handle is @KQED Forum. Julie Johnson is with the Press Democrat, and let me go to her next, joining us by phone. Julie Johnson from Santa Rosa, thank you for being with us.
You're welcome.
Can you give us, at this point, sort of a thumbnail sketch of what you have seen, what you've experienced, and what you want people to know?
Sure. We have reporters fanned out from the Sonoma Valley up to Fountain Grove, and the destruction is significant. There are blocks and blocks and blocks gone. There are historic places gone, like the Santa Rosa Historic Round Barn, Chateau St. Jean in the valley. It's, you know, officials have told me this is going to change Santa Rosa, and from what we've all seen, it already has.
Changed in the sense of buildings burned down, but also changed perhaps in the way people are reacting to?
Well, that's a good point. Certainly, complete neighborhoods are gone, and families are displaced. And also, having covered the Valley Fire, in Lake County and seeing firsthand the massive amount of evacuations and understanding the effects of not getting people out in time, it seems like anecdotally people are just jumping in their cars and going south.
Taking place? Do you have any sense to gauge it or reckon with it?
Try to go on southbound Highway 101, especially hours ago, and it was, you know, bumper to bumper.
And so people are fleeing. I mean, it's safe to say, I want to be careful how I phrase that, but really trying just to get away or get on the highway. Huh?
Exactly. And I think a lot of people are opting to do so as a precautionary measure. And again, this is anecdotal. This is what we've seen with our eyeballs and just heard from friends and family. You know, my family's evacuated my home. I know a lot of, we've got, you know, families in this building. I know deputies I've spoken to, they got their families out, and so they could go to work and focus on that and not worry about them. So I think a lot of people are just, you know, leaving early, which is what the authorities want you to do.
We're talking to Julie Johnson of the Santa Rosa Press-Democrat. Do you have any sense of, at this point, that you can communicate about the shelter situation there?
There are shelters all over the place, and we have a list online. I don't know them off the top of my head, but certainly go to the Press Democrat, and we're updating it regularly. Sebastopol, Petaluma, those are the, I think, in Healdsburg, too. Those are the some of them that come to mind.
And again, Julie Johnson with us from the Press Democrat. Thank you so much for joining us. Appreciate hearing from you, and I hope things continue to go better. I mean, at this point, in fact, let me go back to Mina Kim, our own Mina Kim, who lives in Napa and who's been following this intrepidly. At this point, just from a personal standpoint, you just hope, obviously, these flames are going to die down, and that's the best that can happen. It's optimal at this point. But there's a lot of fear, obviously.
Yes, we're definitely having conversations about what we need just in case we might get an evacuation order because the wind changes or something happens. My husband actually works for the county of Napa as a deputy county counsel, and he'll be on an emergency shift from 5 p.m. to 5 a.m. tonight as part of his role with the county, with their emergency office. And so we've got that. And then also schools have closed all over Napa Valley Unified School District, not just because of, you know, schools that are in harm's way potentially, but because of, you know, smoke in the air and concerns about kids being outdoors, breathing that in. But the types of things that we fear and are worried about feel so small compared to what I have heard today in terms of other people's stories, people who've lost their homes, people who thought this was going to be the end. When I was here at Queen of the Valley Medical Center, there were people who had come to the lobby because they were trying to find a place to evacuate, so they came here, though the hospital is asking those without a medical need to please go to a designated evacuation center just because they are expecting to need all of their resources here to help with any patients that are coming in from other parts of the region. But I did meet a woman who was airlifted from Soda Canyon Road, where the flames basically drew very close to her, and so she couldn't evacuate through the normal routes and ended up having to drive up to the top of the mountain. And there she was airlifted out, but for several minutes she thought this was going to be the end. And luckily she was airlifted out. She was put here at Queen of the Valley, and they're trying to help people find an evacuation center or a suitable shelter for them to be able to, you know, get through this. And so, yeah, there's a lot. I think one of the things when I was leaving the evacuation center at Crosswalk Community Church, and I should mention there are two others. There's one at Napa Valley Community College, and there's also the Calistoga Fairgrounds that were being used as evacuation centers. But when I was leaving around 7 a.m. this morning, that evacuation site, after being there for a few hours and just hearing so many stories, people were starting to go to sleep finally. I think for many it was either a sleepless night or they were awakened in the middle of, you know, sleep, and they finally were allowing, either the adrenaline was fading or they're just allowing themselves to get a little shut-eye and try to face what lay ahead, the unknown that lies ahead in these types of situations when you're waiting to find out the condition of your home.
Again, Mina Kim with us by phone from Napa. She's actually at the Queen of the Valley Medical Center in the city of Napa and is a reporter for KQED News, also the host of Forum on Friday. And again, I'd like to mention that we do want to hear from you, our listeners, whether you're at Sonoma, Napa, or Santa Rosa, wherever you may be, and you're experiencing this. We want to hear what you're going through and what you're experiencing. And let me read some comments that are coming in. A listener says, I voluntarily left Sonoma Valley with my elderly parents. A lot of people are hanging out at the Northgate Mall. Sean tweets, from the side of the road, I can smell it in Sunnyvale. I think it is not like any other smoke. Fire season never ends. And you can add your voice to this. In fact, we do want to, as I said, hear your stories. Let me tell you again how to join us. Our toll-free number, 866-733-6786, or email us, forum@kqed.org, or go to our website, kqed.org/forum, and click on the segment or tweet us. Our Twitter handle is @KQED Forum. I want to bring Jan Null into this. Jan Null is certified consulting meteorologist with the Golden Gate Weather Services, former lead forecaster for the National Weather Service, and he's been a Bay Area meteorologist for over 40 years. Jan, good to have you with us.
Good morning.
Good morning to you. What's the outlook now, meteorologically?
Well, we're at about we're past the worst point. There was Santa Rosa area at over 60 miles an hour during the early morning hours. Those have dropped back down to about 30 or so, and will continue to be through the course of the day.
And the outlook is better as we move more into this day and into tomorrow, correct?
Yes. Yeah. This will be the worst wind day, and then things will kind of get back into normal. Humidity's coming up. Wind's dropping off.
Wind is dropping off, but what did you say about the humidity?
The humidities will be coming up. They're down in the teens right now, but they will be coming back up into more normal 30-40% ranges during the course of the next 24 hours.
Which, again, is something to be sanguine about and hopeful, yeah?
Absolutely.
Yeah. What else can you tell us at this point in terms of just the way the weather's developing?
Well, you know, it's taking the smoke is being carried by these northeast winds that are driving the fires themselves and pushing it down over, you know, the rest of Marin County and down into the San Francisco Peninsula as well. And so there's even some health hazards farther away from it, just due to the high levels of smoke in particulate matter.
Yeah, can you talk about that a little more? I know people are concerned about it, especially people with asthma or children with asthma and so forth. Yeah.
Well, you know, they should try and get into, you know, basically a shelter-in-place sort of situation if they have respiratory problems, so that they're not breathing in this particulate that, you know, is very inflammatory for people's lungs.
All right, Jan, can you hold with us? We're coming up on a break, and I want to get some more information from you as much as I can.
Okay.
And I also want, as I said, to hear your stories if you're going through this terrible experience or if you fled or if you have found shelter or if you're somewhere else than your own place of residence or your business or where your office where you're working and everything. We do want to hear your stories. Let me, and the governor has declared a state of emergency in Napa, Sonoma, and Yuba counties. Let's hear from you, our listeners. Toll-free number, 866-733-6786. Email address, forum@kqed.org, or go to our website, kqed.org/forum, or tweet us, Twitter handle, @KQEDForum. This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny, broadcasting live from KQED Radio in San Francisco and talking about fires raging. 20,000 acres, 25,000 acres in Napa and Sonoma County have been burned. Buildings have been burned. Homes have been burned. There's been mass evacuations and people going into shelters. And we're trying not only to update you, but also hear the stories of those of you who are experiencing or enduring what we've been talking about here. We had Jan Null with us, certified consulting meteorologist with the Golden Gate Weather Services, who's been doing this for 40 years and who has seen a lot. You don't see too many October fires, though, Jan.
This is sort of, you know, a prime time for California because we have our Mediterranean climate gives us, you know, about 5 months of dry weather, so all the vegetation is dried out. We start seeing high pressure build in over the inland areas, and it kind of cuts off the sea breeze. Southern California, they get the Santa Ana winds, which October has always been their one of their worst months. the October firestorm in the Oakland Hills in 1991 was very similar conditions to what we're having today in Santa Rosa.
And, I mean, what's the perspective, though, in terms of fires in this season as opposed to what we normally associate, especially throughout the state, with summer fires?
These tend to be a little bit more wind-driven than the ones in the summer. The ones in the summer are often lightning-caused and up in the Sierra and sometimes down in the Coast Range, Los Padres area. But the ones we've seen in October tend to be here in the area, sort of in the urban wildland interfaces around some of the cities, and we're getting the northeast winds from those areas into the cities.
Chan, I appreciate so much you being with us, and thank you.
Sure thing.
That's Chan Null, again, certified consulting meteorologist of the Golden Gate Weather Services. Let me go back to Mina Kim, who's with us live from Napa, reporter for KQED News and at the Queen of the Valley Medical Center in the city of Napa. What kind of injuries are you seeing, Mina?
Yeah, the Queen of the Valley Medical Center staff say they've had people come in with smoke inhalation and problems associated with smoke inhalation. They've also had people come in with burns. So far they're saying it's been relatively calm. I actually think in Santa Rosa they're seeing some more severe injuries. But so far I have not heard of reports of deaths associated with the Napa fire, and I certainly hope it stays that way. The other thing that's been complicating for people is where to put their animals and their animals' health as well. So many of the evacuation centers do not allow pets, and so shelters here in Napa, for example, have been saying that they can take their dogs, cats, rabbits, whatever it is that they need while they're away. But many are opting to keep their animals with them, both just so that they can keep an eye on them and make sure they're okay, but also because they want to be with their animal. They find their animal is a real source of comfort. I was talking with evacuee Peter Jeanette, who evacuated off of Patrick Road, and he had two big, beautiful dogs with him, and so he was outside with them for most of the night because he wasn't able to bring his dogs into the center. And he said, this is the kind of thing that you see on the news that happens to other people, but it's us. And the other thing that a group of kids, they ranged in age from 15 to 6, and I asked them what was keeping them optimistic and happy, because they were trying to make the best of the situation, and they said their dog Bella was making it all great. So for a lot of people, they don't want to leave their pets because it's a source of comfort with all of the anxiety and emotional stress that they're feeling.
Yeah. Well, let me bring a caller on here. We've got Jerry on the line from Santa Rosa. Actually, you're on the road, Jerry. You're evacuating?
Yeah, I'm actually headed towards, I believe right now we're just going to go to San Francisco. I have a friend that's waiting for us there, and she says, although cloudy, the weather conditions is a little more favorable for breathing.
Oh, that's heartening to hear. What made you leave? What made you evacuate?
Well, it was about, 4 in the morning when my neighbor started calling us, and she was getting her house damp with a water hose. But it was before the sun even came out, you can see, like, the sky was lit red. But it was red because of the fire. And I'm by Highway 12, like I said, close to the Kaiser Permanente building. And it was scary because not only do you see the flames, like, up in your face telling you got to leave, but also, like, you hear explosions, you know, like, a couple of things kept blowing up. I'm not sure what it was. You know, you hear by people that it's probably propane tanks or a gas station or stuff like that, you know. But
There was a propane explosion, so you saw it correctly, or you certainly interpreted it correctly.
You know what I mean? It was very...
It's scary.
Very dramatic.
Yeah.
Very dramatic. And then, like, when we started evacuating, when we started leaving, I don't know where, like, the cell phones gave out completely, and that puts you on another perspective. You're seeing, like, black skies and your cell phones that are, like, thousands of dollars are used. You know what I mean?
Yeah, Jerry, I hope you get to safety, and I thank you very much for calling us. And, again, we do invite your calls. Let me bring another caller in here. It's Liza, who's calling us from Palo Alto. Liza, you're on. Morning.
Hi, yes, it's Liz.
Liz, I'm sorry.
I was born and raised in Marin, Sonoma counties. I have lots of family in Hillsburg, Rionito, Sonoma, Cotati. My nephew right now is holding down the fort in downtown Healdsburg, unable to leave his house. He's it's his family's house they've had since 1990. So I just give good thoughts because, you know, there's nowhere really for him to go right now. He's just packed up everything, and I can't get a hold of him because the cells are down. So I just wanted to let you know I have a best friend in downtown Santa Rosa who I can't get a hold of. She's, you know, no cell reception. So I guess the point is that this is a good time. We should have landlines, right?
Well, actually, I'm looking at a comment here, Liz, from a listener. It says, with cell service out across Napa, people should enable Wi-Fi calling if available on their phones. This way people can contact loved ones if they are close to a Wi-Fi connection, which is a reasonable suggestion. I hope you get a hold of your loved ones.
Yeah, I do, and I just want the Bay Area, if there's anything we can do to save power on this end or save energy to give it to the North Bay would be awesome. I don't know engineering-wise how to do that, but somehow help them, you know.
Well, I thank you for that suggestion, and I thank you for calling. And as I said, I hope things continue to move along a positive line for you. I appreciate hearing from you. We are talking about the fires that are raging in Napa and Sonoma counties, and KQED's online editor, Gabe Moline, is on the line, Gabe Moline, who's a lifelong resident of Santa Rosa. And Gabe, good to have you. Your thoughts?
Hi, Michael. This is devastating for my hometown. This is just, this is incredibly heartbreaking for everyone in Santa Rosa. I have left my house. My dad was evacuated from his house, and then went to my aunt's house. They were evacuated from that house. The devastation is just unfathomable. And when you hear about places in Santa Rosa like Fountain Grove burning down and Montecito Heights, these are areas of, you know, the very wealthy. These are large business owners, board of supervisors, city council people. This is the real backbone of Santa Rosa. It's really our Oakland Hills fire up here. You know, the school Cardinal Newman, which is a large Catholic school, has apparently burned down. The Luther Burbank Center, the Performing Arts Center up here, where everyone in Santa Rosa has seen concerts for almost 40 years, is burned down. The Larkfield area. It's really, really
it's devastating, like you said. And did you, were you voluntarily evacuated?
We're voluntarily evacuated. I have a lot of friends and family that I am tending to today. First and foremost, my dad and the house, both houses that I grew up in fact, are it's really not looking good.
I just wish you good luck in all this and hope that you come through. And thank you so much for joining us and letting us know your story. I really want to invite you, our listeners who are there. You know, we have thousands of listeners throughout this area that's experiencing this, to let us know what your stories are and what you're going through, really, what you're experiencing in the way of emotions and what you'd like people to know. We've been hearing from listeners, and we want to hear, again, the toll-free number, 866-733-6786, or tweet us. Our Twitter handle is @KQEDForum. I realize it's difficult to communicate because so much of the cell, that is, the messaging through cells can't be done as easily when the cells are down. But we do want to hear from you. And here's Matt, who writes, Charles M. Schulz Airport is without power. All morning flights have been canceled. That's unconfirmed. We have to check that to see. But we thank Matt for writing us and letting us know. And if you have this kind of information that you can update us on, we do want to hear from you as well. Joe McConnell, who's traffic reporter, of course, is ready to talk to us and let us know what's going on. Joe, are you there?
Yes, Mike, I'm here, yes.
Yeah, so, I mean, at this point, I know there are a lot of roads closed down and everything. What do people need to know?
Well, I'm only about a mile or so from the flames, so I have a special connection to this thing.
Wow.
Because I'm broadcasting from my house, and I'm just east on the east side of Sonoma. And I'm close to one of the three major wildfires here. This one's called the Patrick Fire that started up in the Lovell Valley area. It's burned through Carneros. And we have scores of not just homes, but wineries and other structures burned down. as far as getting around from where I am in Sonoma, you can't get there from here. And if there is Napa, between Napa and Sonoma, the highway is closed down. That's Highway 121. 29, which runs through the Napa Valley, is open, but parts of Silverado Trail, roughly from about the Yanfo Crossroad and down to Soda Canyon Road, which is just north of the city of Napa, that's been shut down because of the Atlas Fire, which is now somewhere around 12,000 acres.
In fact, and Silverado, biggest, I believe, evacuated, and yes, Silverado, they have that big PGA Silverado tournament up there. Yeah,
I didn't know about the golf tournament, but yeah. I know that we've heard that at least parts of that resort are affected by the fire, but you know, we just don't know exactly how bad this is. The assessment hasn't even begun because the containment is at zero. They're trying to get aircraft in here to tamp it down, and they haven't made any progress. The really big fire, the biggest as far as acreage, is in Sonoma County. That's called the Tubbs Fire, and all these fires started about 10 last night in very high winds. This one was off 128, and then it burned down towards Calistoga. It's burned into the city of Santa Rosa. Untold number of homes and other businesses have been destroyed. You know, this is the first time I've been in the middle of a fire. I've covered a lot of them over the years, but haven't been personally affected by it, and it gives a whole new perspective.
Well, it's sobering, and you've got all this evacuation going on there, too. How's that affecting the roads and the just in general in terms of traffic?
Well, the freeway in Santa Rosa is just completely shut down and has been all morning from Highway 12 right up to about Shiloh and Windsor. And the ride on 101 where it's open is just packed from 116 Grabenstein, so that's in Cotati, and all the way down into Petaluma. Once you get into Marin County, you're still okay. We also have half of Highway 37 closed down. That's the half that goes westbound from Vallejo over to Novato. That's shut down. The eastbound side, they opened up earlier, and it actually seems to be rolling okay. So if you're going from Novato over to Vallejo, that seems to be fine so far, anyway.
Well, keep your spirits as high as you can, and thank you so much for the report, Joe. It's good to hear from you.
Will do. I'm keeping my door closed because it's very smoky out there.
Yeah, in fact, that's Joe McConnell. In fact, I'm looking at a comment from a listener who says, wow, the smoke smells so strong like it's in Alameda or the East Bay. Sorry for everyone going through this. And indeed, we all can share that concern and compassion. We all certainly feel regretful about what people are going through here. It's awful. Let me bring in a caller from Santa Rosa. It's Austin joining us. Austin, welcome.
Hi. So I'm up here in Santa Rosa, specifically Larkfield, which was hard hit when the fire came down from Calistoga. And my house completely burned to the ground. I got visual confirmation a little while ago. My recording studio was in this. Just a lot of stuff. I got a call at about 1 a.m., 15 maybe, saying mandatory evacuation. And at the time, I mean, we didn't even know there was a fire. There was no smoke. There was no ash. When we went to bed, everything seemed normal. And within about 15 minutes, it was raining embers down in our neighborhood, hot blasts of air and just ash and gas. But our entire neighborhood in Larkfield there, the Mark West Estates, was just completely devastated.
I'm so sorry you've lost your home. I mean, at this point, it must just feel a terrible weight and unhappiness. I mean, sadness, yeah.
Well, you know, it's kind of weird. In a weird way, it almost feels like some weight has been lifted because I do know that I have to start over again. But I've done that before, and we live in a really great community up here. So I think, we're luckier than some of the people going through other natural disasters, but it is pretty devastating.
Well, your spirit is inspiring. My hat goes off to you, and thank you so much for joining us. Good luck. I hope
you
can move your way through this and move forward, as you said, and start anew. So many people in that situation, it's just devastating. We've got Mark Prell with us. He's the morning announcer for KRCB, lives in Santa Rosa. And, Mark, good to have you with us. Welcome.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Good morning. So we're hearing so many reports from Santa Rosa and from all these areas that have been affected. It's been devastating. It's been awful. What is your perspective?
Well, it started up very, very early for me in the morning. I know that leaving the house a little earlier than normal, I usually get up around 4, and at 3 a.m. there was already a very ominous glow, and you could hear audible explosions from either propane tanks or small gas tanks for, like, your barbecue. Those were going off, and then if I look to my south from where I live in Bennett Valley in Santa Rosa, there was a glow from Kenwood, so there was kind of fire on either side of us, and it was a rather eerie sight. A lot of our neighbors, we had no power because the wind had knocked out power around midnight. So we had already seen a lot of our neighbors packing up their cars and getting themselves to safety, although we ourselves were not under any evacuation order, but driving in through Santa Rosa, phenomenal gridlock at 4 a.m., people just on the road trying to get away from the fire again that was up in the Fountain Grove area. So there was a lot of tense moments on the roadway. I mean, a lot of cars, bumper-to-bumper traffic at many of the intersections, people in their driveways loading up their cars. And again, these weren't people in evacuation areas per se, but there was a fear and there was a general sense of urgency that, hey, this is coming and we need to do something, and people were trying to get themselves to safety.
Let me read a comment, if I could, Mark, from a listener up there named Kathleen, and get your reaction to it. She writes, we're on Highway 101 driving south after being asked to evacuate our hotel in Santa Rosa. The hotel took in many people overnight. It was chaotic as staff were unable to give people better information, be it to go to shelter, drive out, or whatever. Eventually, fire personnel arrived and told us what roads were safe, and some people arrived by taxi and other commercial vehicles. They were often stymied about what to do next. That's probably a general feeling up there, isn't it?
There was a general sense of there was a lot going on. It was a lot of information to take in. This was a very fast-moving fire, from what I understand. It really came out of nowhere, and like we've seen this before in Lake County and going back with the Oakland Hills fire, these are events that happen so quickly and progress so incredibly rapidly that there's very little time to do much of anything. I really, my heart goes out to those in the evacuation area. I know that we did, in fact, lose two major hotels in the north of Santa Rosa, and even Luther Burbank Center, I've just been told, is no more. That's fallen victim to the flames. But then there's countless homes and families displaced as well, and our heart goes out to them. This is just an incredible, unspeakable catastrophe for Santa Rosa.
Unspeakable indeed, and all of our hearts go out. And, Mark, thank you so much for joining us. Mark,
you're very welcome.
Is the morning announcer with KRCB. Amina Kim. Yeah.
Oh, I'm so sorry. When you're hearing words like countless and untold in terms of the number of structures burned, it's so true. It's really hard right now to get a sense of just how destructive this fire has been and is being right now. Governor Brown has declared a state of emergency, but right now we're just, they're just trying to start controlling the fire when the emphasis until now has been so much on saving lives. But here in Napa, there will be untold numbers of structures burned on Soda Canyon Road, on Partrick Road. We've seen images of wineries go up in flames. So just the extent of this is still unknown.
Well, I want to get KQED News reporter Suki Lewis with us. She was just at a news conference with Napa County officials and the fire chief and is on the line. I hope it's a great connection. We'll get back to Mina in a moment. But Suki, are you there?
Hi, I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can hear you fine, actually. I was concerned about the connection, but it sounds good. What can you tell us at this point?
All right. Good morning, Michael. I'm standing here outside the sheriff's department, and the air is still, thick with smoke. There's ash floating down, and what they just were telling us is that there's currently three big fires here in Napa: Atlas Peak, which is 8,000 to 12,000 acres, the Calistoga Tubbs Lane fire, which is 35,000, and then the Partrick Carneros, which is 2,000. They couldn't give a number of estimated evacuations at this point. They said they've just been working so hard to get people out that they have no idea about those numbers right now, and that their chief concern has been, as Mina was saying, has been kind of saving lives. So far, no casualties have been reported to them. That's what the sheriff's department is saying. But they say they're working. Now looks like the fire is moving south into Solano County, so they are expecting that they will continue evacuations throughout the day. The CAL FIRE chief here in Napa was saying that now that it's daylight, they're going to be able to get some of the planes in the air and be able to fight this fire from the air. So that's their big thing, that they're, glad that now it's daylight and they can get that going.
Did you feel, for the most part, that they were really on top of it? I mean, because this is an emergency situation and things can get very chaotic.
Yes, I mean, it seems like they're trying their best. They're working hard together to create a coordinated response to this, but multiple officials were saying that they hadn't seen anything like this. That I think there is a bit of scrambling, especially when these kinds of things happen so quickly and so many at the same time.
It's our own reporter, Suki Lewis. Suki, thank you for that, and stay on the story. Appreciate your being with us. We're going to go back to Mina for a moment. Mina, you want to respond to that? Mina Kim?
Yes, well, I'm glad that Tsuki was able to go to that 9 o'clock press conference, because I've really been waiting for some official news, though it does sound like, as she was reporting, that again, they're still just trying to get their arms around this. But it's true. You know, right now it is daylight, and it's amazing what daylight can do. The skies are hazy. The sun is was a deep orange. It's since, you know, moved to a lighter orange, but it was just this incredible sun. And I think with the dawning of a new day, when you're not trying to fumble around in total darkness with no power whatsoever, or trying to flee in the dead of night, there is hopefully lifted spirits.
Hopefully, indeed. I want to go to some comments that are coming in. Ramona writes, I'm in Clear Lake Oaks in the Keys, and I can see the fire creeping up the hillside near Sulphur Bank Road. I'm packing a bag right now. Another listener writes, and this is awfully kind, I have a guest room in Mountain View. How do I connect with people who have no place to go? Any idea of how that can be done at this point, Mina Kim?
Well, that's actually been something that I've noticed on Twitter and other social media, that people are offering their homes because they're realizing that they can't open up evacuation shelters fast enough for the evacuation orders that are going out. And it's really, though these types of things are so devastating, they do bring out the best in people, and we're certainly seeing that in invitations like that.
And another piece of information, which I think is useful, from a listener named Martin, who says there's an Android app called Zello that people can use when cell service goes out. People used it a lot during Harvey. Ellen writes, people with internet service who use Facebook's Messenger can make telephone calls to others also on Facebook. And let me bring in another caller, and that's you, Frank from Oakland. Good morning.
Good morning. I work for a commercial art transportation company, and saving lives is the absolute priority. As was just said, the dawn is breaking, the winds are down. One of the fallouts that I'm thinking about is the art collections in people's homes and museums in Napa and Sonoma County. I've reached out to two registrars at different collections with whom we work, just checking on them. They didn't have time to make it to the buildings as soon as the fires came up, and we all kind of learned of it as the morning moved on. They didn't even have a chance to find out if they can save any of their collections. So they're safe, their family's safe, but the art, we're not going to know for a while.
Yeah, well, thank you for bringing that to our attention. I mean, always concerned not only about valuables and personal items, which often come first in people's minds in emergencies like this, but as we heard earlier, pets. And the fact of the matter is that at this point, and this is one thing that's encouraging in all this, we just heard from Tsuki Lewis, Mina, again, at this point, no casualties.
Yes, I'm shocked. I so hope it stays that way, just because of the speed with which this fire moved, how quickly it consumed structures. It's very scary, and I was really concerned about hearing about casualties. So I certainly hope it stays that way, but this is probably, you'll hear the word unprecedented related to this fire when it comes to the speed of the winds and the multiple fires breaking out in multiple parts all over the North Bay.
It's not only the North Bay. I wanted to add that we keep getting comments from people about, well, for example, here's a listener who says, I live in South San Jose and the air is hazy with the smell of fire and smoke. I thought there was a fire in the Santa Cruz Mountains.
Yes, the effects are being felt all the way down to the South Bay. And very early on when the fire broke out, even around midnight one, you were hearing people in Daly City say they could smell the fire that was in Napa. And so that's in Napa and Sonoma and surrounding areas, and that's when one of the ways that I knew that this was really, really big and that we really had no sense of the scale.
Well, these red flag warnings are pretty extensive, too, and I want to read another comment from, well, a couple comments from listeners. Listener writes, the scene from our farm this morning is eerie. We're harvesting vegetables in the smoky haze. We've stopped early because most stores are skipping orders. Many are closed, and we're missing employees. And here's Victoria writes, I woke up to smell of smoke at 2 a.m. in Richmond. So, again, this is really Trans Bay in terms of the smoke and the smell and the effect of this fire. And, again, I think, Mina, you've certainly highlighted this a number of times in your comments, but it probably can't be highlighted enough just how intense this blaze was.
Yes, right. The speed, the winds, it's the intensity was just whipped up by these incredible winds. And it doesn't sound like, I mean, they're saying that it's moving into Solano now, so it really does sound like the winds are still quite a factor, even though I've noticed they have died down some here in the city of Napa, where I am right now. But I think they will continue to be a factor today.
And here's Greg. Gregory, join us. You're on the air.
Hi, yeah. I'm standing in Santa Rosa, just off of West College Avenue, about a mile south of the evacuation zone. To the north and the west of me, I see dark chocolate clouds. To the east of me, I see clouds rising in of fire smoke. Straight above me is the sun shining. It's very strange, sort of scary. Got me up on the roof this morning, clearing off the dry leaves.
It sounds surreal, really. It's like you're in some kind of a dreamscape or something like that, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
I appreciate that, and I thank you for that call. Governor Brown says the state of emergency declaration will free up resources for Napa, Sonoma, and Yuba counties. This is really serious, he says. It's moving fast. The heat, lack of humidity, and wind are driving a very dangerous situation, making it worse. We are getting mutual aid from local counties and other parts of the country, and this is serious business. We're watching it, and it is not under control by any means. That's straight from the governor's office. Another listener, Anna, says, in Sunnyvale, my son asked, why does it smell like a campfire at 8:30 this morning? So again, you just really realize how much the smoke has pervaded and has become almost ubiquitous throughout the Bay Area. Thank you, those of you who called. Thanks, Mina Kim. Good to have you with us. I hope things go better and better and better.
Thanks, Michael.
And thanks to all who joined us this hour. Ahead, we're going to meet Nobel Prize winner Muhammad Yunus. Stay tuned.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation, and by Jan Schramm and Maria Minetti Schramm, founders of the Minetti Schramm Museum of Art at UC Davis, which preserves the legacy of renowned artists such as Wayne Thiebaud for future innovators by dedicating a third of its space to arts education.